All right, I guess we are live. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, Sean, for making this possible for us. It is today Wednesday, June 28th, 2017. Next week we have 4th of July. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you all for being here. This is Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. Another Wednesday call. If you have questions, we have answers. You can submit a question per email to win. Who else joined into the call over here? Thank you for being here. Please say a name and location.
Dharmananda, Boulder Creek.
Hello, Dharmananda. Good evening to you and welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Who else joined in? Please say a name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Good evening to you, Susan. Welcome to the call.
Thank you and good evening to you.
Say what?
Thank you and good evening to you.
Thank you so much, Susan. All right. We are only a minute away from the hour, so we wait for Winfrey to show up and Terry Brown, hopefully here shortly. I'm just going to start for the third time to play the song I wanted to play. See when the next one joins in, and then I'll stop the song.
There are stars in the southern sky.
I had to let them finish this sentence. Thank you all for joining in over here. Few lines joined. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening to you and welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how's everybody?
Good evening to you, Don, and welcome to the call.
Thanks.
Welcome to the next call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to the call.
Hi, thank you.
More people have joined in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Roger in Austin.
Welcome to the call, Roger.
Roger.
Is that Chris? No, I don't think so. However, more people joined in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Positive greetings, Hive. Raiden out here in Arizona.
Positive greetings to you. Raiden, thank you for being here. More people joining in. Welcome. If you want to, please say a name and location.
Hi, Dallas.
Terry from Dallas. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, it's Vin in Sedona.
Vin from Sedona. Good to hear your voice, Vin.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are you going back and forth to the microphone, Wynn?
No. Is Terry on the line?
She's not here yet, no.
Okay.
Terry from Dallas, but not here yet.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hello, Anna. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Welcome to all those folks that are joining in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here and participating with what we are doing over here. An episode of If You Have Questions, You Might Get an Answer. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, everyone. It's Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
So Wynn is tracing Terry, to my understanding?
I just saw her 2 minutes ago. I walked out of the room, and I said, we're going to be on in a minute. She said, I know.
And she left on a cloud.
All right, I'm going to go in and yell at her, but not too badly.
Please use a kind voice, man.
All right.
All right. Thank you all for being here. And as or all of you know, we also do a whole planet healing right after this call. About the next caller on the conference call, please say your name and location.
Hello, hi, this is Shirley from Ohio.
Hi, Shirley, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And for those on BBS or here, if you want to call into the whole planet healing call, which is 7 days a week at 7 p.m. Pacific. The phone number is 712-770-4340. I had to think about that. And the access code 250-513 pound. And you can also go to on the internet WholePlanetHealing.com. Is Terry Brown with us here?
Yeah.
Hello, yeah. Terry.
Hi.
Thank you for being here. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right.
Sweetheart.
I want to say, you want over here?
Is Terry on?
Yeah.
Terry's on, yes.
Yeah. I was just reading that there is a fire near Prescott and the 69 is closed.
The 69?
Yeah.
Okay, stop using that kind of language in public.
I'll find a different. Okay.
What?
I mean,
took you a while. Took you a while to get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we are live on BBS Radio, and we are about to start our own recording here. Wynn and Terry, are you guys ready?
No, we're never ready. Terry's never ready to channel. But we'll do it anyway.
There we go.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
June 28th, 2017. Wynn and Terry on our conference call. And this is our Wednesday call where people submit questions and we give answers. You know, it's very interesting. In the past few weeks, we've been getting a lot less questions. But it's okay, because people are still showing up. The same amount of people are showing up. And what I get, and I'm sure I'm right about this, is people are showing up kind of for the connection. It's like, quite frankly, I don't need to know much more. In fact, sometimes I say, geez, can I turn this backwards a little bit? I mean, in terms of some of the things I've come to understand about how everything works.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
There's a certain point where some of it is so dark and dank and maybe even scary that once you know it's true, you know, and not just because they're sources answer, you know, I always do a tremendous amount of research. And when I decide something is true, I usually have all my I's dotted and T's crossed. You know, I don't think you've ever heard me say something like, the Elohim says this is true, so believe it, you know? Usually, they are the last to have asked. I ask. I mean, I do all my research, and then I will run it by them and make sure everything's in concordance. Now, you know, one interesting thing that I just ran by them, very interesting little session I just had with Terry, is that I'm kind of fascinated with this idea of, and I'm sure you probably heard me say this, Kimberly Meredith, who's the healer that we've been connecting with, and who has been working with Terry, and who many of you have had sessions with. And, you know, the second time Terry had a session with her, I was in the room, and I said, she had the idea that she's working with a team, and I asked her team, okay, you know, it's really crazy working with her, but she doesn't really channel like vocally. Her eyes blink, and when the right eye blinks, it means yes, and when the left eye blinks, it means no. And so I asked, are any of your team from the Elohim group? And her right eye started blinking, yes. And are any of your team from the Ra group? And it blinked yes again. And she didn't have the context of those words. She actually thought Elohim was a word for God. But the fact that they were a group soul, the fact that Ra group was a group soul, that had never crossed her consciousness. And now her team was kind of validating not only themselves, but my questions. So that's like laid the foundation for extremely interesting and ongoing developmental relationship with Kimberly. And it's fun to work with her. She is, you know, she is giggly, she's cute, and she walks in like a ton of bricks, and suddenly she is doing something in 12D, and things shift in the person's physical, and things disappear. And it's amazing to watch, and she's really learning how to honor the gift of being able to do that. And so, you know, today I did a little session with Terry, and I asked the question, what I'm talking to you is Kimberly's team, are they here? And they said, well, they could, I forget what they said. Terry, do you remember what they said? Terry, are you unmuted?
Yeah. I think I'd have to go back into channeling mode to pick it up.
Yeah, I kind of remember. that kind of said that Kimberly's team was through the channels that they certainly had immediate access to, something like that. And they were partially there, but, you know, they were all aware of the same things. So this is a very interesting developmental connection that's coming together. You just stay tuned. We'll see where it goes. But let's see. Michael Adler wanted me to tell everybody store food. You know, the fact that we come into these calls and are so relaxed and loving and convivial does not mean there couldn't be a collapse tomorrow. And we're not putting out the thought that there will be, but just in case there is, take $100 and get some food and water. And, you know, different people have different opinions about what is the best way to spend that money. But I like getting canned beans from Whole Foods, organic baked beans, pinto beans. They're only $1 a can. They're organic for the last 3 years. And, you know, it's not probably a perfect diet, but it'll certainly keep you, survived for a month or two, if that's all you ate. And you can get more tuna fish. Another thing that's good. Be creative. If you have the money to spend, get some survival food, which is now available everywhere. And water is easy enough. Start storing water. Start filling all your containers after you use them up with filtered water, if possible. But even if you get gallons of water from the supermarket, you could probably get 30 gallons of water for a little over $1 each, okay? All right, so let's go into our questions for tonight. And let me call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is Ra'an. We are an amalgamation of part of the Elohim group and part of the Ra group. And we take a moment and we are sending love right now to one of the people that has joined with us
to come into Whole Planet Healing on Mondays and Thursdays and do readings from the Ra group and the Cole group. We appreciate the amalgamation of the two, of Jim and Wynn, and we then take a moment and focus on each person who is on this call or in the future will listen to a replay. And we are nonlinear, so we can do it with everyone at the same time. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you or make sense, then disregard it as it does not apply to you at this time. We take a moment and our attention moves to the area of near Prescott where the fire is and the country club and sun protection around the country club and sun protection to the area as much as possible.
Is that fire in here? Is that fire near the golf course that Terry and I had dinner at?
Yes, they have put pre-evacuation orders in on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right. First,
do you have a question?
Yeah. We have a question here from... A second. Okay, here's an easy one. David Morton in England. Have I had any rise in America, possibly in the Civil War? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. We do see that you did have a life back then and were in the Civil War. We do see that. Yes. The answer is yes.
There we go. Next question is from... Clayton. Wait a second here. All right. I'm going to make a comment on this because this is what I know some of the answer to. He says, Thoth Ratha. Of course, Thoth was a being which supposedly was eternal throughout history and did something called the Emerald Tablets. And Ratha was a previous lifetime of Edgar Casey in Egypt. And raise the question, are these two the same? Both claim to have built the Great Pyramid. Same being, different timelines? Question mark. Now, in Edgar Casey readings, it was indicated that Thoth and Ra-Ta, I think they called him Hermes, I don't know if they called him Thoth, but both were working on the pyramid. And in Carla Ruckert's readings, it was indicated that Ra built the pyramids during the period of Ra-Ta. So, here's my opinion. My opinion is that Thoth was an Anunnaki, and that a lot of his material had high ritual in it, invocations, blah, 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 blah. Not that it was necessarily, obviously, negative, but I think in current time, those have gotten negative. Like, for example, there's a guy that does Merkaba techniques, and it was indicated by our sources and other people that the way that he has people spin their auras or their energy fields was negative. And it took people, a Merkaba technique is something that expands. We don't do a Merkaba technique on our calls, but we do expand our fields. And I believe our fields go back to source, they go very high. And there were people that do things that are supposed to expand your fields, but you can expand your field into a negative zone where the negative harvests the energy. So the question is, there was indicated that Thoth-based Merkaba techniques were not positive. They expanded you into the negative. And Thoth has all of the earmarks of an Anunnaki in this realm. And yes, according to Edgar Cayce readings, it did work with Ra-Ta, but they're not the same meaning. So let me turn it over to our sources for their take on this.
Thank you. Yes, Ra-Ta is not the same being as Thoth. Thoth was very powerful and knowledgeable and had his own distortions that he was promoting and bringing in. He brought through much positive, salted with some negative.
Was he Anunnaki?
Oh, we get yes.
Yes. And was he in the Anunnaki Enki lineage?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We're getting questions about that tonight. Let me let us go right into the other. Here we go. This is from, let me see, Prudence. And let's see. Human changes, regarding human changes in this cycle, were Enki and Enlil a part of this? Regarding the human changes for this cycle, Nancy, I'm not quite sure of her question. The human changes in this cycle are coming from the galactic frequencies barreling through the solar system, through the galaxies, that have nothing to do with Enki and Enlil. This is a 75,000-year cycle. But Enki and Enlil were part of things that were happening on the ground. So I'm not sure how you mean it or how you mean our sources to answer. So I'll see what they have to say. Okay.
Frankie and Anna were, well, Anna was against it, but Frankie was for allowing and doing genetic experiments to allow humans to reproduce. Anna was against it, and there was a big movement to simply have the human race to be workers and being able to survive on the planet, but to not reproduce. And they fought against the reproduction of humans, the ability to reproduce.
Well, once Enlil lost and Enki was changing the formula, so they were reproducing, Enlil did try to destroy the humans.
Yes.
And then he tried to enslave the humans. Whereas, as I understand it, Enki not only wanted the humans to reproduce, he wanted to lift them, help lift them into God consciousness or awareness of all
that
is.
That is correct. He did not feel it was fair to simply allow them to be workers without families.
Yeah. Okay. So, now, Prudence asks again, in regards to the two bloodlines, supposedly from Enki and Enlil. Okay, now Prudence, our sources may say something other than I know, but I don't think there were two bloodlines. They were just humans, and it wasn't Enki's family or Enlil's family. Well, actually, there were, if you take the two individuals, Enki and Enlil, those two had bloodlines. And I believe the Enlil bloodline was partially reptilian in the background. And, you know, Prudence is asking, was one of them really good or better? Or were they both negative, bad, and just represent the duality here in 3D?
You ask a broad question for a black and white answer. They were brothers, and not completely related, but not with the same father and mother. They had, according to their different bloodlines, some different relatives that gave them some different information. Give us a moment. They were diametrically opposed to what each other was doing. And Anna sought to undo the ability of the human race to reproduce. He wanted to destroy it, and Enki wanted to promote it.
Was Noah's Ark really an ark, or was it a spaceship that was trying to store the DNA of all the beings on Earth while Enlil was busy setting up flooding?
Well, it was certainly a project to save the DNA of as many species as possible. And
But was that project originated by Enki?
One of Enki's followers.
Mm-hmm. And was it an ark or was it a spaceship?
History has it as an ark, as a
Winter dropped out.
Oh, she did.
She probably doesn't know it. You might want to check on her.
All right. Thanks.
We dropped out.
Oh, there we go. Did you just call back in, Terry?
Yeah. The phone, the signal dropped out.
I was just about to fetch you. All right. Let's just bring in the light again. Bring in protection.
We remember the question was the ark a spaceship or was it a boat?
An ark. Yeah.
An ark. We are isolating out the data as there were spaceships around at the time. And the event was observed by Anna from a spaceship. However, we get that it was a boat.
Okay. And continuing on with Prudence's question. And she is thinking that there is two bloodlines from Enki and Enlil, and that one of them was the good guys, and are they...
One of them was what?
The good guys. The good guys, of course.
Well, it depends on what side you're on.
Depends on what side you are. You're on. You know, Enlil had a point of view, okay? And his point of view had to do with... Not necessarily. There was a planetary edict, like in Star, the Prime Directive, which was not from God, but from like the United Nations of Planets, that the directive was that don't mess with the evolutionary process of a planet if you go there. And one of the reasons that Enlil did not want to have the humans, the hybrids, procreating was because it would have messed with, it would have violated the Prime Directive. It would have messed with the evolutionary process of the planet. And then...
Which it had already been messed with before recorded time.
Yeah. Had already been messed with previously. And then Enki kind of won. And Enlil went along. See, one of the things that happened to the Anunnaki, and this is a part of the story that our sources can confirm, which I believe is true, but I've never asked them, but I've just put it together, that by the creation of humans on Enki's part, and by the commitment to the evolution of the humans that were created, there also became a tie between the Anunnaki and this planet, like a karmic tie, a responsibility, particularly on Enki's part, particularly because Enki supposedly was having sex with the women of the humans that were being created, and part of his reason for having sex was because he had committed to the evolution of this new species, and his Anunnaki DNA was probably very superior. And probably the other reason he was having sex is he liked it. But it pulled him into the evolutionary flow of humans on a karmic level. And it's in some of our previous questions that I don't think we did publicly, it was indicated that Enki was in the astral, and he was still monitoring the progress of humans and perhaps other of the Anunnaki were in that same situation. And but I've never asked the question, I don't recall, if Enlil was in the astral. And if Enlil, since it was Enki's decision, then Enki got pulled into the responsibility of it. But maybe Enlil didn't, okay? So you see, it's complicated. It's not so simple, good and bad answer.
Each side felt that they were correct. A lot of the myths aren't exactly totally right in that the breeders in South Africa of the human race received sperm and eggs that were developed in a lab and were the result of more than one species that were experiments to see what would make the most viable humans. It was more of a seeding than a seeding by implanting although there was some sex involved, was more of a seeding, an experiment to see what could be the most viable human.
In other words, Enki wasn't just going around having a list of sex with all these cute new women, right?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. They were trying to create the best strain of human.
That's right, and they would develop it in a lab and then implant it into the vagina tract of the female breeder. It involved stimulating sexually the breeder so that it could be increase the chances of it taking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Prudence's last question, were they the fallen angels? Could that mean Elohim, someone's gone negative with a delight in humanity's lovely daughters, or is that a different story? or is it mixed? Gordon says, you can see it's complicated. It's not black and white. When you read about fallen angels, we could say that the Anunnaki, as I get it, the Anunnaki are a race which has been seeding the universe, I think, for a long, long time, much longer than their time on Earth. And early on, they were actually part of the Elohim that came into this realm and probably got stuck here because of having sex with beings in this realm. And then they started to deteriorate because of their own jealousies and their own competition. And were they the fallen angels? Well, I guess you could say that. See, where it gets tricky is, one time I said about my father that I had, when I realized that I had chosen my father, and I had to, then I had to accept all that I went through, because I made the choice to have him give me birth, even though he killed me in a former lifetime, right? So when we look at this whole process of the creation of humans and Enki and Enlil and all that happened, and that we are here now as the product of all of that, which is probably the case for a great many of the people who are listening to this audio. Now, not everyone on Earth is the product of that particular thing. As we learned, there were other group souls. There's probably other stories for the beings in China and dealing with other interplanetary people. But we are the product of the whole Anunnaki thing. And would we say right now that I'd rather it didn't exist and that didn't happen? And even though there was negativity, like, would I say, would I rather I didn't have a body and that I never came through my father now, knowing all that was involved with that? You see, it's complicated, because once things get to the place where beings exist and are aware, would they decide not to exist? Some of them might, you know. Some of them, it's been so much suffering in this realm, they might make that decision. But I probably wouldn't make that decision. I'd like to fare with my chances of existing. And
thank you. There is another factor to consider, and that is that life is a big arena where one can get lessons. And the life that is provided, the bodies, and the companionship with other people is a marvelous training ground and arena for the bringing through of life lessons that people can learn in the third density and can become stronger from.
Thank you. Okay, I have a question from Robin. Robin, I'm so glad you keep asking these questions, because maybe you'll get to the bottom of your greatest dilemma. And she asks, how can we plug into our 12-strand DNA into the higher mind of the universe and be able to access 100% of our brains?
thank you. It is a very broad question. There is an area of the brain that can access the higher dimensions. There are connections with the stars. There are neural pathways that are even connected with the surrounding environment in a GPS kind of way, and one can become more sensitive to that. They are either inactivated or are partially activated or are used as patterns that the person operates by. You have connections and that you are not aware of because they operate in an unseen level, and they are not visible in the third-dimensional universe, yet they are influencing you, for instance, astrologically. The positions of the stars and the moon are influencing your energies. However, it is so ingrained that it seems a part of you.
Did you get that, Robin? If you didn't get it, ask a further question next week, okay? Keep pursuing it, all right? Keep pursuing it until you get it, all right? Next question. And this is from Valerie. And can you please tell me the true history of cats and how they are here to help humans? They are so independent, even as a domesticated animal. It just amazes me. Thank you, and blessings to all who are with us tonight. And Larry, I'll tell you one interesting comment about cats is Daphne loved cats. And they have said that cats helped her stay grounded when she was channeling or in the body. So, and the cats were from a high dimension in this dimension. But let me turn it over to our sources and let's see what they say.
Thank you. The connection of a cat to a channel or a mystic is the cat that is used in that manner is called a familiar. They're like a companion that helps hold the energy for the person who is bringing through information. They have been bred to be a companion. They do have track or history, ancestry relating back to the wild cats, the wild animals, and so they are very independent, as you mentioned.
Okay. Thank you. I think we have time for one more question tonight. If you submitted a question and we didn't ask, please try it again next week. And Helen, ask your question next week, okay? And let's see here. Here's a quickie if we want to answer. in case you run out of questions tonight, Wynn, here's one. What really happened to Amelia Earhart? I don't know if they can answer that, but go ahead.
Thank you. We're looking at we see her trip around the world. We see her trip where she was landing in various places. And some of the places were not familiar with planes and were very scared by planes. They captured her. And they were very scared of her. She could not continue from that point.
Did she land on some island somewhere where there were strange natives?
There were strange natives there who... She was so foreign to them that they were scared and captured her. And she wanted to continue. How was it they would not let her?
Did they kill her? Or did they keep her as a captive?
Well, they kept her as a captive, and she got ill and died.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you so much. That'll be all our questions for tonight. And do you have any closing comments?
We see that she was having some plane trouble. And that is the reason that for her landing in that strange place. And there was damage to the plane.
Mm-hmm.
We thank each person for being here. And it is a sacred moment in time when we can so connect and meet with you. We leave, but we do not leave.
Thank you. And we're going to go over the whole plan of healing and our sources, hopefully, will be following us energetically. And we will see you in minutes.